let's go. Grilled and Rush Podcast with your hosts, Wilson Rush. Also with C. Lil, Vaughn Wilson, and C. Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 miles. Red City, your world. DJ Clips. We the best. The Killers Music Group. The Rush Wilson Podcast starts now.
Yes, sir. Happy Tuesday to everybody out there today. Wilson Rush Podcast at it again. We got a good one for you today. Freestyle is back in action. We got the usual suspects, C-Rush, T-Wheel. C-Rush, how's it going, man?
It's good Tuesday right now. Getting ready for the season to pop off next week. Have a little 4 p.m. madness at the school, you know. Can't get no better than that.
Yes, sir. Make sure you follow those Michigan State rules because I will report you. T-Wheel. What's going on, man?
What's going on, man? Hey, it's Tuesday, man. NBA is back, and I've been waiting on this season for a while, and I can't say that about the NBA, but I'm definitely happy the NBA is back, guys.
Yes, sir. We definitely got a good show for you today. Before we get started, I got to give a shout-out to Southeastern ending their season on a four-game winning streak. A lot of momentum going into the offseason, and it's a good opportunity to get guys to train in the offseason and get them to train hard when you're coming off a win streak. T-Will, you want to give us a little bit on your season?
Yeah, started off pretty slow, fine. In fact, started off 0-5, but you know what? Great programs we build. And at 0-5 in the inner city, I didn't have not one guy quit, fine. Not one guy quit the team. They believed. They grinded it out. And you know what? We finally caught on. And once those guys got a taste of that winning, and they tasted that, fine, we ended the game ended the season on a four-game win streak and great momentum to go into the offseason. And, you know, kudos to my seniors, man. Great leadership from the senior class. And now it's time for them to get ready and go to college and for these juniors to step up and take what they've learned from these seniors. And take this program to the next level.
Yes, sir. I mean, good job this season. Like you said, you guys started off slow, but in my opinion, I think that's a great sign of a coach when you start off 0-5 and it just run off 4 in a row. That tells me that you continued to get after the guys and you did not let them quit. So kudos to you guys on that.
Thank you, Fine.
All right. So like T. Will said, it's a busy time of the year. NBA is going on. But we got to tackle the NFL hard today. We're at the halfway point right now. We made some predictions before the season started. So we want to see if we want to keep those predictions or who do we like to win it all right now from what we've seen. And we definitely want to we want to have the topic of what happened to you topic, I like to call it, you know, the Steelers, Texans, and Giants, you know, and the Falcons. You know, guys that had high expectations, and they all might not even make the playoffs. And the Lions have a bye coming up, but a heck of a game. We didn't quit. We pulled out a thriller against the Cowboys. But, of course, it's Sparty, and it's Michigan week, so we definitely got to start with that. And we got to talk about this ball game first. It's a huge one.
This is Michigan. God sakes.
And I agree with you, Brady Hoke. This is Michigan, but we haven't looked like them. And we haven't looked like Michigan. I'm nervous. Michigan State just put up 42 points. We know their defense is great. T-Will, we'll go to you. I know we're coming off a bye, but what do you expect to see in this Saturday's game, T-Will?
Well, I expect it to be a typical Michigan State matchup of late, you know, not one-sided, you know, both teams in the game grinding it out, and realistically, fine, I think we can throw everything that's happened before this game. I think we can throw that out the window. I think it's safe to say, because 4 or 5 weeks ago, guys, I think we all thought it may have been one-sided, you know, with Michigan having the advantage. But within the last few weeks, the Michigan State offense coming alive and their defense just being really consistent across the board. And Michigan's, Michigan offense exploding, you know, in Indiana versus Indiana. And our defense not looking as good. Guys, I think we can throw everything out the window and just say, you know what, when these two teams meet Saturday, okay, just be ready for some back and forth, you know, some lead exchanges, some turnovers happening, some big plays. It's just going to be one of those games at the end of the game. We, as us as fans, we may be tired like we've been playing the game because it's been so much back and forth. So I'm just expecting an exciting game, fine. Two teams battling it out. No one wants to lose this. You know, Brady Hoke said it. Hey, they don't like us. We don't like them. It's just that simple. You know, so you'll see that love-hate relationship on the field. You know, those guys that keep it clean within the lines and between the whistles. But guys, I'm telling you, I'm expecting to see a back and forth, just drag it out, grind it out. I don't like you. You don't like me type of game.
Now, T. Will, I want to talk about this here for a second, is because I still think this is a fact. And I keep telling people this when we have a Michigan discussion, and I still think everybody's ignoring this. We stink on the road. So I know this is a rivalry game. I know it's in-state. I get that, T-Wheel. But does that still bother you that we can't play outside the big house?
Yeah, that's always tough. I mean, in any sport, when you can't – when you don't play up to par on the road, that makes for a tough season, you know. So – I think it's a little different with these guys going up to East Lansing. So when we talk on the road, there's a difference when you take a bus trip and when you take a plane, take that flight to another city. But I think, you know, still being in the state of Michigan, these guys knowing exactly what's on the line, because I'm going to tell you right now, this is the recruiting game right here. You know, the recruiting coordinators, people don't understand how big this game is for these guys, you know, behind the scenes. So I don't really think Michigan will see this as a road game. You can throw that road stuff out the window this week because it's Michigan and Michigan State, and I don't care if these teams were playing in the Upper Peninsula. It doesn't matter. You can throw all that crap out the window. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight with these two teams, and I think it's going to be a heck of a game, one of the best that we've seen in a long time.
Now, before I go to C-Rush, I mean, plain and simple, T-Will, who wins this game?
Well, to be consistent in what I've said thus far on our shows, and really and truly what I think, I just really and truly think Michigan's going to win this game. I know Michigan State has put up points these past few weeks, but – the Michigan defense isn't going against this high up-tempo offense, okay? They're going against some base offense, some simple 21 personnel, 12 personnel. Michigan State really doesn't spread it out a lot, but when they do, I think we have the athletes to match those guys, and I just see Michigan State defense being the difference in this ball game. Michigan's defense being the difference in this ball game.
Yeah, T-Will, I got to be honest. The reason this one's close in my mind, and this is my problem. This is why I played that clip, This is Michigan, because here's my problem. It shouldn't be a coin flip. And I agree with you 100%. This one's going to be close. And I think it's a coin flip, and it should not be a coin flip. But the reason, this is the only reason, the two reasons I have why I give Michigan the edge is the first one is we're coming off a bye. And so I give us the edge because we're coming off a bye. The second reason is we got to be honest. Michigan State is 4-0 in the conference. If they go to 5-0, this thing is probably over. It's probably over. They're probably going to Indy. So, C. Rush, we'll go to you. What you expect to see in this game?
I expect to see one of the best games that we've seen in conference from both teams. You know, I understand that we lost at Penn State a couple weeks ago, but, you know, like we always say, the motivation factor may not be there. Coming off a bye, I expect the motivation factor to be there of a national televised game to be there like it was during the Notre Dame game. You know, that's one thing that when we had lead up going to that and build up going to that, we played very well. And you know what? I expect us to play well then, this weekend. You know, Michigan State is coming off, a blowout win against a team they should blow out. Yes, Connor Cook is playing very well right now. But like T. Will alluded to, they don't spread you out. You know, they just try to punch you in the mouth and they spread you out every now and then. We've had a problem with teams that want to play fast and spread them out, and they want to beat us in ways that we don't know how to defend. We know how to defend it, but we don't defend it as well. So if they come with the base offense that they're accustomed to, I believe that our defense can play well because, you know what, we're motivated. You know, we can play this game at Ford Field, Mount Pleasant, Western Michigan, Eastern Michigan, whatever Michigan. And I think it's going to be the same game no matter what. You know, yes, it's going to be a little tougher because it's going to be in East Lansing, but this is going to be a tough game to where Devin Gardner is going to have to make plays. You know, Michigan couldn't run the ball against UConn, Akron, whoever else. So why should I think any different that we're going to run it any better against arguably the number one defense in the conference or in the nation, you know? So I think that Devin Gardner is going to have to handle us, and he's going to have to lead us to victory this weekend. But I think it's going to be a good game, and I really do believe that like T. Will said, it's going to be the Michigan defense that's going to have to come up with a stop, because I believe that the Michigan State defense, they're as good as advertised, but they have not seen a quarterback like Devin Gardner yet this year.
See, that makes me nervous if I got to rely on this defense. And like you guys said, though, well, T. Will said, the spread, they're not really going to spread us out, because, I mean, I look at our defense, man, and I don't think we're very good. That's just my opinion on defense. But see, Rush, I want to ask you this. Now, this is Michigan. This is my opinion. Michigan is, if someone in the Big Ten beat us, it's an upset. The only team that we should be a coin flip with, in my opinion, is Ohio, year in and year out. Now, see, Rush, am I being too critical here, or is that Michigan?
You're not being critical, but you got to understand, this is not your John L. Smith, Michigan State run-of-the-mill teams, you know. They do have a good coach. They do have a good program established up there. Hard as it is to say, they have had defenses that have plucked from the inner city for the past couple years. So it's not the average Michigan State team. So I don't want you to, you know, think any different. But this is, like you said, this is Michigan. But at the same time, offensively, they are lacking somewhat, but this Michigan State defense, they're all brothers from the inner city. They're all brothers from places that have been highly recruited. So we can't underestimate what they've done, the stuff that the previous regime within Michigan didn't do. They recruited heavily within the inner city, you know, just like alumni of T. Will School, Southeastern. Golston went to Michigan State. You know, a lot of kids. Denard, he's from the inner city. You know, all those kids, you know, when you put all those kids together, those highly touted kids that weren't picked by Michigan, they go to Michigan State. Of course they're going to have a good team. So this is not the Michigan State team from 1991 with Hoyer and all those guys. This is a good quality team defensively, but this is Michigan. We're used to beating them. We're used to beating little brother. So we got to come out and prove it once again.
Yeah, I wish T. Will was at Southeastern then so he could send Ghost into Michigan. But T. Will, I want to throw this one to you. And basically the same question. Like, that's my Michigan. That's my mission. That's what I believe in. I believe is if anybody else in the Big Ten beats us, it's an upset, and we should only be a coin flip with Ohio. Are my expectations too high, T, or what?
No, your expectations are right on par, and that should be the expectation. You know why? Because we are Michigan, and Shane Denard from Michigan State, he was a two-star recruit when he came out also, Shane. So, but yeah, no, your expectations are fine. You don't have to adjust them, and that should be the expectations year in and year out. It's us in Ohio. It's just that simple. You know, Michigan State, the relevancy of their program, yes, they have some years where they're up, and yes, they're going to have some years when they're down. So, I mean, as long as Michigan State makes the game competitive, you know, that, I mean, that's cool, kind of keep it close. But, you know, year in and year out, Michigan should win this game, you know, and move forward.
Now, T, I got a big fear. Now, and I just want to be honest, and I want to talk about this. I feel, in my opinion, that we have to win the division this year. And the reason why I say that, T, is because I'm going to tell you this right now, And I know a lot of Michigan fans may not agree with this, but when this new alignment happens next year and we are in the same side with Ohio, we're not going to win that division a lot of times. That's my opinion. Obviously, I don't know the future, but from what I've seen from this staff and this new regime, I'm being honest. I can't see us going into that last game every year undefeated playing Ohio, because I can tell you this right now, T, they probably will be undefeated in the Big Ten going into that game. So, T. Will, I want you to talk about the future for a little bit here. And do you have that same fear that I have of Urban Meyer?
Well, of course. I mean, Urban Meyer is, I'm telling you, Urban Meyer is phenomenal in what he does. You know, he's a great coach. He's a great recruiter. You know, those two things, he's in the top, you know, top three in the country at doing those two things. So yes, I'm afraid of, when it comes down to it, comes down to that with Urban Meyer. Now, yes, I think we have to win this division final. We need some momentum going into this realignment. It's going to be key, because I'm going to tell you right now, regardless of we going to the game with Ohio, whether we're 500, below 500, undefeated, that game is still going to have a luster that it should have, okay? But at the same time, we can't let anyone else run around with this division or conference. As long as we're in the Big Ten and we're that Maize and Blue is in the Big Ten, we have to come away with conference championships. You know, that's the goal. Win the conference, get to the Rose Bowl or better BCS Bowl if possible. You know, that's the goal year in and year out at Michigan. I could care less who's in the division. You know, they could bring Alabama in. Our goal won't change. But hopefully they won't bring them in.
Yeah, I'm about to say. but see, Rush, we had this conversation privately over the weekend, and we talked about this, and this realignment scares me. But here's the thing, see, Rush, that's why a lot of people make fun of our fan base, because we all go around and say, yeah, we're Michigan. We are very arrogant about our fan base and about our program. But see, Rush, we ain't won a conference since 2004. I believe it was 2000. That's when I graduated high school. So see, Rush, does that bother you that not only when you think about it, you say, okay, it's going to be tougher to win the Big Ten Conference because now we have a title game. But now we're on the same side with Urban Meyer.
I mean, so what? I mean, we was on the same side as Woody Hayes before. And, you know, you see how that worked out. This is my thing. You know, yeah, Urban Meyer's a good coach, but he shouldn't strike the fear of God in people. He's human. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is, I mean, I understand that he's a great coach, great recruiter, yada, yada, yada. But so what? You know, they're still men like we are, you know, and that's one thing that we got to start looking at. You know, can we compete with them? Yeah, we can. Look at the universities. You know, are they going to do some out of the box stuff as far as within recruiting that we won't do? Yeah, probably, because he's used to some SEC tactics, but this is Michigan, and we have to be able to not have that fear factor going into, like, oh my goodness, Urban Meyer, we're in him every year. No, we got to say, hey, you know what? We have the better athletes, we have the better players, better coordinators, and let's go from there. You know what I'm saying? So let's not get so fearful of that guy down there in Ohio. You know, yeah, him coming into the conference changed the landscape of things, because he's making everybody step their game up. You know, that's exactly what he's doing. And that's a beautiful thing, because before that, the Big Ten was never really on the map. It was always an overrated conference, to whereas we'd be in the top 10 all season and we'd lose in the bowl game. You know what? He brings that sort of arrogance to the Big Ten, and we got to play with that certain arrogance when we play them as well. You know, it's still Ohio. We still want to beat them. We still hate them. And you can't fear that man down there, even though he's an excellent football coach.
I hope you're right, C. Rush. And I honestly, I hope you guys are both right. But I'm going to be honest. I mean, he strikes fear in me. I'm not going to lie. He does. And I think that's why Beilin went to Arkansas, because he felt that he couldn't get the same type of players at Wisconsin. He thought he could do a better job at Arkansas. Obviously, we don't know if that's true or not, but that's why I think he went to Arkansas. Just my opinion. But like you said, C. Rush, we are Michigan. We do need to step it up, but I don't know, man. It's going to be a rough future for us if we do not step it up. Well, all right, let's move on. And see, Rush, we'll stick right here with you. The Lions have a bye. Talk about what you saw in that Lions game on Sunday, man. One of the best games and the most gutsy plays that I've ever seen from a quarterback to end it.
You know what? That showed a lot. We could have been going into this saying 4-4. Hey, here's how we lost it. But you know what? The tale of a good team is to whereas you commit turnovers, you do this, you do all the negative stuff, but you still win the game. The tale of a quarterback going from great to elite is to whereas they know you have to pass the football and they know who you want to go to and you still get it there. That's what resonates with me the most. You know, Calvin Johnson, 329 yards. If you know they're throwing the ball to him and you still get it there, that's how can you not double and triple him? You know, Guthrie Cunningham did his job. He doubled Dez Bryant. He did what he was supposed to do. He understood the most lethal weapon that Tony Romo had was Dez Bryant. So I'm going to frustrate him. I'm going to try to just roll the coverage to his side. But you know what? The Lions, we did a great job of persevering through turnover after turnover after turnover, just making your stomach hurt. Like, oh, the Lions, they keep doing this to me. But you know what? We came out and we finished the game. You know, 1 minute left, I still had hope. And you know what? Matt Stafford, he put the boys on his back. He made clutch throw after clutch throw after clutch throw. They made one of the best clutch decisions that I've seen as a Lion quarterback in my lifetime. You know, hauling everybody to the line, let's spike it, I'm going over the top. You know, he say he's seen the disadvantage, and that's what good teams do. That's what playoff teams do. They win the games against other teams that they want to contend. And you know what? Going into the bye week, rather than hanging our heads for 2 weeks now, you know what? We have all this positive momentum coming back. We got Nate Burleson coming back. You know, I think we're in a good place. And that was a huge win. And shout out to the Lions. Shout out to the defensive line. Didn't get a sack. But you know what? Romo was 14 for 30. You know, and that's a negative percentage, in my opinion, when you're shooting 48%. So that's a good job by defensive line and Gunther Cunningham and everybody else. So we did a good job, man. I'm happy with this.
Hey, Jerry Jones' best comeback about stopping Calvin Johnson was, hey, Deion Sanders would have locked him up. Like, dude, shut up. He ain't playing. He's got over 300 yards receiving. That's your best comeback.
Give him the KG. Shut up.
but see, Rush, yeah, I want to ask you. Him. I mean, we're dead smack at the halfway point. We're 5-3. Are you happy with 5-3 right now?
I mean, yes, of course I'm happy. We have more wins than we had last year. We're tied with Green Bay. We go to Chicago with a hurt Jay Cutler coming back. Well, he's not even coming back. We got Kyle Orton or Luke McCown, whoever, somebody, some creative player that we're going to play against. And then we get Green Bay at home for which hopefully will be the division. You know, and I'm happy with where we're at because of how we got here. You know, we've beaten teams who have playoff aspirations, you know, and that's something that goes a long way. You know, you go to Washington to beat a team you haven't beat in God knows how long. You beat a Chicago team at home. You beat a Dallas Cowboys team who's America's team and leading the terrible division, which is the NFC East. You know, we're doing everything right, the right way. We're winning the games that last year we may have lost in some crazy way. So I have no choice but to feel confident in We're getting healthier as it goes. Reggie Bush getting healthy. Calvin getting healthy. Now we're going to the bye week. Everybody's getting healthy, and we're going in with confidence. And that's one thing that you can't coach, you can't teach, you can't give. You earn that. You earn confidence.
Yeah, you're right about that. And 5-3 is pretty good. But T. Will, we'll go to you. You know, what did you see? What did you see in that game? Because Matthew Stafford and me and you, we had a discussion about this, T. Will, and you know, quarterbacks, when they make bad plays and they don't work out, that's all they remember for. Tony Romo dropped that fumbled that snap for the kick. We still talk about that. It's like, dude, get over it. If Matthew Stafford, T. Will, hikes that ball, doesn't get in, and the clock goes out, or tries to go over the top and fumbles the ball, his career may be ruined. So, T-Will, what did you see from the Lions on Sunday, man?
Seen something that I don't see quite often, Fon. Seen the Lion teams fight to the end. You know, when everyone say, hey, it's over, hey, they say, no, it's not over. We still have, you know, it's time on the clock. You know, and it's a motto that I tell my football guys, you know, just give me a place to stand. Just give me a place to stand. If it's anywhere on the field, I don't care if that ball's on a one-inch line. Just give me a place to stand, and we'll get it done. And Matt Stafford went out there, and he got it done. I mean, that last play of the game, it was beautiful. Matt Stafford played that game from about 40, 50 yards out. He's screaming to the line, hey, let's spike it, let's spike it, let's spike it. He runs up to the line, and now as he is really and truly, guys, he wanted to spike the ball, okay? But if you see a defense with their hands on their hips, they're huffing and puffing and they're tired, hey, they weren't going to give Stafford any push because they heard him say, hey, let's spike it. Stafford did. He made the correct move. He made the correct move. You know, if those guys were down there 3-point stance ready to fire off, he would have spiked that ball, okay? And would have been talking about whatever play happened after that. But he seen them with their hands on their hips. The bigs were tired. They wanted to go give him any push. He made the correct play, guys. And then to speak on Calvin Johnson, my goodness. I mean, the single best receiving effort in NFL history in four quarters is just phenomenal. No one else has ever done that, guys. I mean, yes, they say Flipper Anderson had more receiving yards, but if you look into it, he had 40 yards in an overtime game. So in a four-quarter game, no one else has ever done what Calvin Johnson did on Sunday, and that's phenomenal. You know, and to look into, you know, take it on the other side of the field with Dez Bryant, it was so personal with him. He was hollering at everybody on the sideline. My goodness, are you kidding me? How selfish was he? How selfish was he? He had a great drive and came back to the sideline, still talking about getting the ball. That was just selfish because it was all about numbers at that point. It was about him, you know. But I'm going to focus on the Lions. And, hey, Calvin Johnson showed us something that we've never seen before in the NFL game, you know, regulation game. And Matt Stafford, kudos to him because this may be maybe the first, but maybe the second. It depends on how you look at it. He set a mark, you know, by pulling the trigger on that move. Great quarterbacks have those moments. And every quarterback, you can ask Tony Romo, these moments don't come across very often. So for Matt Stafford to have kahunas to pull this and get that ball across, you know what? I'm glad for that young man, because great quarterbacks, they take those risks, and the great ones really get rewarded. And at the end of the day, we may be talking about Matthew Stafford as the best Lions quarterback ever.
Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of football, obviously, the coaching standpoint, and, you know, I don't know all that, but I watch a lot of football, and that's definitely the gutsiest play that I have ever seen someone make. And I'm just not saying that because it's our quarterback, because I'm telling you right now, if he fumbles that snap and we lose the game, you know, his career may be a disaster after that. But, T. Will, before I get to my next question, I just want to make sure I got your prediction right. Before the season, you said the Lions 9 wins, right?
Yes, that was my prediction.
Okay, so I just want to read you the rest of the schedule and see, you know, what do you think now? You know, we got the Bears, Steelers, Buccaneers, Green Bay on Thanksgiving, Eagles, Ravens, Giants, and Vikings. Do you still think we only pull out four more of those games, or do you want to up that puppy a little bit?
Well, out of the 8 games left, you know, the Ravens on Monday Night Football, Green Bay on Thanksgiving, at the Steelers on the road. Just to be quite honest with you, Fon, I see us, we can really go in and win 7 out of 8 of these games. I can really be comfortable in saying that. We can win 7 out of these 8 games because some of these teams just aren't what they used to be, and I know we'll talk about that a little later in the show, but the way the Lions are playing right now, the momentum that they have, the way they're playing on the road, and the way that defense, especially that front four, is playing, realistically, Fon, I really see us, you know, we can definitely win 7 out of the last 8 games.
Yeah, before the season started, I said 11, and I really still think we're going to get there. But I really do think that game will be key. All the games are key, don't get me wrong. But I think, you know, if we're still tied with Green Bay, I think we have to prove a point on Thanksgiving. I don't even remember the last time we won on Thanksgiving. I don't even know if I was born. But we got to figure out a way to get that tradition going. But see, Rush, I want to throw it to you. Did you say 8 wins? I believe you said 8, didn't you?
I really can't remember, honestly.
It was 8 or 9.
It was 8.
So do you believe that they're going to win more than 8 or 9 games? Because obviously the NFL is a funny thing. You make predictions before the beginning of the season, then there's injuries, then there's just teams that are just awful. So what do you think that they'll win more than 8 or 9 games, C-Rush?
Yes, I do, because I didn't think the Giants were going to be this terrible. I didn't think the Ravens. Well, I knew the Ravens were going to be bad, but I didn't think they were going to be this bad. So that's 2 wins right there. And I believe we'll beat Green Bay at home. So that's just 3 extra wins, that I think that going into the season, I don't think we had, but now I think we do have. So this is, going into this bye week with, like I said, with all this confidence and everything else, now everybody's patting us on the back. Now we gotta get back to work. I think that we're gonna come out here and solidify playoff position, and we're gonna show why exactly we are in the position that we're in.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sticking with my 11 games. I just got a really good feeling about this situation. I really do this year. I think we will get our 11 wins. But all right, guys, we're going to move forward here. We haven't done the freestyle round in a while, so we're definitely going to get back into it right now. And guys, you know I have no idea who turn it is to go first.
Oh, that was me.
Okay. T-Will, we'll start with you on this one. There was a high school football game last week in Texas, and we all know how they like their football. And the team just beat them 91-0. Beat them 91-0. So a parent wrote a letter in and said, hey, this is bullying. So thumbs up, T-Will, if you agree with that parent and say, hey, this is bullying, or thumbs down, no plays and no days off.
Oh, I totally agree with that parent. But before that, I just want to give a shout out to my guy, man. Y'all know who's doing it, sponsoring the freestyle round. But listen, guys, I 100% say that is bullying. 91-0, you know, high school sports is all about, sportsmanship. Okay, there's no reason that any football game should be 91-0. Every state in the country has a running clock rule. So whether it's 40 or 50 points or late 30s, whatever the score may be, you know, you're trying to put up points. I mean, when you have a running clock, you are trying to put up points. And at some point, you have to understand it's bigger than a win-loss. And that's in more than just football. That's in any high school sport, you know, and that's what we're promoting. I think a parent shouldn't have had to write the letter. I think the school should have stepped in, the athletic director, the principal, someone in the administration, and then, you know, the state should have stepped in. In Michigan, we had an MHSAA. So in Texas, you know, whatever their athletic association is, I think they should have stepped in, because that the whole point of it isn't to embarrass the other team. The whole point of this is for great competition. And if unfortunately we have one team that's way superior than another, you know, you shouldn't take advantage of them like that. That's not why we are out here on this field for high school sports.
Well, T. Will said that was bullying. C. Rush, you think it was bullying, or you say, hey, no days and no plays off?
No, bullying is disrespecting someone because they can't afford something. Bullying is making somebody feel bad about themselves in a personal standpoint of where they want to shoot the school up or kill themselves. This athletics, you know, the first string played 2 possessions of that game. I really paid close attention to this game. The first string played 2 possessions. If you're going to go out there and play football, we know that it's one of the most violent sports that it is. So if you come out there and try to play scared, you're going to get hurt. So when he tells his tools to go in there and say, hey, just run the football every play, and they score, you don't want them to fall down to 4-yard line. That's more disrespectful than anything. That's a big slap in the face. Just like as far as a basketball coach, make 10 passes before you score the basketball. You're making them look stupid. So you know what? They went out there and they scored. The coach at halftime tried to figure out, like, how can I slow this game down? You know what? And he couldn't. If somebody's not going to tackle you, what are you supposed to do? Just fall down? No. granted, it was a 1A school versus a 1-3A school down there in Texas. So it's already a mismatch as it is. This is no form of bullying. It's been sports scores like this since forever. You know what? It's just one superior team that dominates another. Bullying inflicts people's lives. This is a game that, yeah, it'll be talked about, but when the coaches come out and say that, hey, I'm trying to do everything in my power to not score. You can't tell kids to run out of bounds at the 8-yard line, 6-yard line, run backwards. No, because you know what? That's embarrassing. That's showing up the team, in my opinion. So when you come out there and you score, when you have a chance, and if they let you score, like if they're not doing anything to hamper you from scoring, then, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, this is a tough one. But see, Rush, I think you kind of dug your grave on this one, so to speak, because I believe that you learn life lessons through sports. And for you to say it's just not bullying because it's something that you can't afford, you know, I can't afford a Maserati right now. So, I mean, I'm not being bullied. So, I mean, it was a good fight, but I got to agree with T-Will on that one. 91 zip with the running clock. I think you could have took more measures. I didn't see the game, but I have to agree with T-Will. Let's go on to the next one on this one. Now, this is a very interesting one, C-Rush. And, you know, Brandon Marshall was talking about Brandon Merriweather, the DB for the Redskins. He said, hey, man, this guy keep doing his dirty hits and, you know, he should be out the league. And Merriweather said, well, I think he should be out the league for beating up his girlfriend. So thumbs up if you think Merriweather has a point. Or thumbs down, he crossed the line.
Thumbs down. He totally crossed the line, you know. You're talking about what somebody does at their job. And then because they're athletes, it's promoted in a different way. Their personal lives is on display as well. You know, if you work at Chrysler, you do your job and you mess something up. You can't just say, oh, you mess something up, but you probably beat your wife at home. You know, that's a thin line that crosses too many borders that shouldn't be talked about. You know, what somebody does on the job, yeah, they may mess up there, but you can't take shots at somebody for what happens in their personal life. You know, theirs is more on display because of who they are, X, Y, and Z, but who knows what demons that Merriweather may have in his closet. So I think it's dirty pool. I think it's bad that he may take a shot at him in that regard, because you know what? You really shouldn't attack somebody's personal life, to whereas on the field it's your job. That's something that you do. That's totally separate from anything else. You know, that's just out of bounds to me.
See, Rush said thumbs down, man. That was out of bounds. I mean, what do you feel about those comments?
Well, thumbs up. I think that ball is still in play. I think it's in bounds, okay? Because my thing is this right here. Yeah, why not kick him out the league for beating up his girlfriend? He's an NFL professional athlete, you know? So it's not like a guy that works at Chrysler. You know, these guys are sculpted, strong, you know, state-of-the-art, you know, human beings. It's not just a regular person, yeah. And I also believe, I mean, more than that, fine. You know, guys who get caught drunk driving, they should be out of the league. Guys who get caught and they do with these drug cases, they should be out of the league. I think it's a privilege to make, you know, 7, 8, 9 figures, you know, and certain stuff that you do, yes, why not? That privilege should be stripped of him. And yeah, for him to beat his wife, yeah, or girlfriend, why not consider taking him out of the league also? I mean, and that's the same thing with Merriweather. They're thinking about ending his career or taking him out or whatever the case may be. Hey, it should be both ways.
Now, this is a tough one, and I got to be honest. This is a tough one. And the reason why it's a tough one because see, Rush says that it shouldn't be personal, but if you telling a guy he can't go to work anymore, in my opinion, that's personal as well. But the reason why I have to go with C. Rush on this one is because Brandon Marshall was not convicted. If he was convicted and served time or, you know, took a plea or whatever it was, I would have to side with you, T. Will, But I do have to say that if you tell a guy he shouldn't be able to work his job anymore, I would definitely have to say that's definitely personal. But he's never been convicted, so I have to say that he shouldn't go there. All right, so we got a 1-1. Let's go to the tie on this one. Now, T-Wheel, this is going to be a tough one. Now, NFL are playing all these games in London. Now, thumbs up if you think that this is a good idea, or thumbs down if you think it's not a good idea.
Well, to me, it's funny you bring this up. I say thumbs down. I don't think it's a good idea, Fine. I do not think it's a good idea. I think what the NFL should do is, for one, keep the game here. Okay, if you want to experiment and try to put the game in different places, how about putting them in cities that don't have NFL teams? How about trying it out in Kentucky with those diehard fans down there, which the only thing they have is really the University of Kentucky? How about experimenting in Vegas? Let's see what kind of turnout you have out there. What about the city of Los Angeles? So to me, there's tons of spots here, Fon, right here in the good old U.S. of A, for us to play the game of football. I think that the home team kind of loses out a little bit. You know, those fans lose out because it's one less game that they get to see their team that season. But I really do think, Fine, with this experiment that they're doing and taking it overseas and things, I think they should keep it here. They should keep it right here, right in the good old United States. And if they want to actually experiment in cities that you may think, you know, may want a football team. You know, let's see what South Carolina's looking like. What are they looking like in Alabama? So, I mean, I would look at some spots in the good old USA, Fine, and I would stay here.
See, Rush, got to go to you on this one, man. We just found out that I believe we'll be playing Matt Ryan next year. And, I mean, I want to look at the schedule and figure out, you know, who's losing home games, us or Atlanta or both. How does that work? But, see, Rush, what do you think about this situation?
Well, thumbs up. They're experimenting with this because it works. Every game that they've had in London has been a sellout. So they're trying to figure out a fan base to whereas we're going to move a team there. You know, what's better than bringing football from where it's a sellout every game here, whatever, but now you can tap into a fan base overseas. Now you can tap into the whole London, the whole country, another country. You can tap into them and get that whole country fighting behind a football team, because all three games there next season are going to be a sellout regardless. So now imagine if you give that team a home team to cheer for and everything else. You know, that's why this is going on, because you know what? It's expanding our sport that we love globally. You know, that's the main thing that's going on right here. You know, it has nothing to do with, it's bigger than a home game here for the Lions, a home game here for Atlanta. It's bigger than that. It's what it's doing is making this sport globally. Like Jake Reed, tight end for the Washington Redskins, he's from England. He fell in love with the game because you know why? Back when we were growing up, we had NFL Europe, which was huge over there, like a minor league for football, you know. And now they're trying to reestablish that connection that they had there. So I believe that it's going to be a positive thing. We're going to have a team in London within the next 3 years, and it's going to be a sellout every game, just like every game was a sellout here. You mean to tell me if San Francisco and the Jaguars played in Jacksonville, it would be a sellout? No. But guess what? They filled those seats up there in London, and it was a sellout.
See, Rush, you bring up some good points about the global marketing of it. But see, here's the thing with this question. Do you think it's personally a good idea? And I got to be honest, T brings up a good point. If I'm in L.A. and if I'm in Kentucky, I'm like, why you won't bring a team here and you trying to get a team over there? I get the global and I get the marketing aspect of it. But if I'm in L.A., I want a team. So I got
to
be honest.
They've had teams that didn't have sellouts before.
That's a good point, man. But I got to give it to T-Wheel, man. I have to. If I want a team in my city, see, we work differently here in America. If you don't win, we're not coming to see you. See, people go to these other countries and they sell out just because it's American sports. But hey, I want a team. Put a better product out on the field and we'll come watch you play.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. freestyle. Haven't been here for a while, baby, but I'm glad it's back.
Yeah, that was three really tough questions. Good points. But it is what it is. But we got to move on here, and T-Will, we'll stay right here with you. And we want to talk about our what happened to you topic, T-Will. And we'll start with the Steelers. Tell the people what the heck happened to the Steelers.
Well, a few things happened with the Steelers, guys. People look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they fall in love with the tradition. What was there before this team? People don't understand what really happened. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers have a lot of holes on this team, guys. They lost Mike Wallace to free agency. The receivers that they have there now really aren't up to par. Hines Ward is gone. Their offensive line isn't the same. Those guys are gone. Ben Roethlisberger does not have the same protection. He doesn't have the same big back that can carry the ball 20 to 30 times a game. And the passing game's just not there. This tight end has been hurt. The Steelers' defense is not up to par. I mean, a lot of people have left town. The Pittsburgh Steelers really aren't a good football team right now. Ben Roethlisberger, as good as he is, guys, he can't make magic happen. I mean, that's a bad franchise right now, and people have to just accept it for what it is. And right now, guys, until they get some talent on that roster, they're going to be bad for a minute.
Yeah, T-Will, I agree. You know, I've been saying this from the beginning. It's about tradition. For some reason, when we view football, and T-Will, we'll leave it at that. They're just not good. They're just not. It's too many holes on this team. But you look, oh, it's the steel curtain. Oh, yeah. But no, they're not good, guys. So, C-Rush, I want to go to you, and we'll give you the Texans. I mean, what happened with the Texans? They got everybody coming back on defense. The coordinator's still in place. What a disaster that's been.
I mean, when you come out and you win your first couple games and you lose your couple and you start losing faith in your quarterback, it can end quickly. You know, in the NFL, we know that a window of opportunity only lasts maybe 4 years, and they were on that fourth year right now. So now, once they got 500 and then they lost that game to Seattle, the whole wheels fell off, you know, and the whole town has turned. You know, J.J. Watt, he was even in the locker room. He didn't want to say it publicly, but he kind of knew that the onus was on that starting quarterback. When we give you a lead, you got to win it. And now they don't know who they're playing for anymore. You know, it's a tough situation that's going on down there because they did have Super Bowl aspirations because they were there last year. They were on the cusp of it the past 2-3 years. You know, they didn't have Matt Schwab the year before because he got hurt, but he was there last year. So now they're playing for really for nothing, you know. And you got an aging superstar in Andre Johnson down there. You know, once again, you lose Brian Cushing for the year again. Now everything's just going to hell down there right now. And it's sad to see, but this could be the last we talk about the Texans for about 5 more years.
Yeah, and you say this all the time, C. Rush, that windows don't stay open for a long time in the NFL, and I agree with you 100%. That thing is ugly down there, and, you know, people are going to say, hey, is Kubiak the guy to get us over the hump? So I feel bad for guys that built the foundation, and they don't get the opportunity, you know, to get further. So that's tough. You know, it's tough for them, and I really thought they would be better this year. But T-Will, let's go back to you and let's talk about those Giants. You know, they win a game yesterday and don't score Sunday and don't score a touchdown, and they say, hey, we turned the corner. Yeah, right. But T-Will, what happened to the Giants, man?
Well, the offense happened to the Giants. No running game whatsoever. They had flashbacks when signed Brandon Jacobs again. And the decision making of Eli Manning hasn't been the best this year. the front five that's protecting them, they haven't done a good job at all. You know, they've been just downright brutal. And, you know, the type of quarterback that Eli Manning is, he's not very mobile. So he needs a pocket. And defenses are going in. They know the Giants are weak up front, and they're going in. They're running lots of stunts. They're sending a lot of pressure. The Giants aren't doing a good job picking up with their backs or their front five. So the offense is really moving backwards, you know. So what I think the Giants need right now, Fon, I think they need a new voice. I think Tom Coughlin, I think his time is up in New York. I think they need a fresh voice, and I think they can really get back on track, because at the end of the day, guys, they still have a lot of talent on that defense. They have a lot of big playmakers on that defense. And also, if they can get that offense on track, I mean, they at the receiver position, I mean, they have tons of talent. Eli Manning needs to get back on track, but they really do need to get that running game going. They put their faith in David Wilson at the beginning of the season. He's had that fumbling issue. They went out and got Brandon Jacobs. Now he's back on the IR. So it's really been no consistency. And they have to get that offense rolling. Eli has to get back to being a game manager, making a few plays when it presents itself. And get back on the winning track. But until then, I really think the Giants are going to struggle, especially in that division.
Yeah, I agree with you, T. But, you know, when you win, you know, you can have that little momentum. And I think that's the best thing for them, because at the end of the day, they stink. But at the end of the day, T-Will, they only out two games. They only out two games. And, you know, the Cowboys, they're known to choke some leads away and lose some games. So they're Absolutely. Still not out of it.
Absolutely.
So I can't wait to hear this. Let's go to C. Rush, and we got to talk about the Falcons. I know it's going to be some excuses on this one. So give us the excuses, C. Rush, why Atlanta is not good.
Well, the proof is in the pudding. You know, when you lose games to Miami and you lose games early, it was a close game this year. They lost as well on primetime football. You know, you put yourself behind the eight ball. You put yourself in a position to win. And then this is the NFL where anything can happen. You lose your best player offensively.
There we go.
you lose your best player 2 weeks ago in Julio Jones. And then you go out, you lose Michael Turner in free agency. You neglect to sign him. You sign Steven Jackson. And then he's only played two games this season, you know. You release John Abraham, you sign O.C. Uremura, but John Abraham was the key to that defense for years and years, you know? And it's just a tough situation to go to. Granted, they are in a tough – I wouldn't say tough, but, you know, you got Sean Payton coming back in that division to where you know that you're going to have to bring your A game regardless, but – some of these losses are inexcusable. Some of these losses land on Matt Ryan. Some of these losses land on the defense. It's a combination of things that have happened to this team that I thought had Super Bowl aspirations. You know, when you get everybody coming back, the same way that you thought about the Houston Texans, I thought the same way about the Atlanta Falcons. You know, you got two of the most premier receivers in Rowdy White, Julio Jones, Tony Gonzalez, you get Steven Jackson rejuvenated. You got Matt Ryan back there hungry again, and they come out and lay a dud. You know, so it doesn't make sense, but that just goes to show in the NFL, it's not about who you sign. You still have to make adjustments and get better during the offseason. You know, I think the John Abraham loss hurt them a lot, in my opinion, because OC, only time I heard his name was in Madden when I played a couple days ago. I forgot he played for the Falcons. So, and same with Steven Jackson, you know, he comes out, plays one game, week one, they win it, doesn't play again, pass two snaps the next game. You know, when you go out there and you try to put your livelihood on players who have proven they're good commodities in the NFL, but come out here and do nothing, you kind of really sabotage your season, you know, when you're putting faith in people who can't stay healthy.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I just always thought they were a bit overrated. That was just my opinion. And, you know, the Texans, hey, they had big thoughts down there, too. You see somebody went over his house and told him how bad he was thinking it up. So, you know, it's serious down there in Houston, man. You can't perform like that. Guy, you know, went in his driveway and told him how bad he was a quarterback. You know, told Matt Schwab that. So, you know, you got to go out there and perform.
Sold him. Not me.
But yeah, let's, but yeah, I mean, I think this is a very interesting topic. I think it's teams, a couple teams every year that you expect to do well and they don't. But I have never seen this before with a lot of teams that just fell off the map like they did. All right, let's go to our last topic of the day, and we'll go with you, T. We'll start with you. And, you know, before the injuries came out, before the season started, we kind of picked who we thought before the season on paper would win the Super Bowl. And, T-Will, you said the Broncos, right?
Absolutely.
Now, T-Will, who, I mean, do you still stick with that? Do you still stick with the Broncos? Do you still think, like, hey, they'll win this Super Bowl for sure?
Yes. Nothing is a for sure deal, but I do think that they'll win it. Just looking at right now, they're battling a few injuries. Nothing that can't be overcome in the next few weeks. They have Von Miller back on that defense, and I really like how they're playing right now. Yes, they did drop a game to the Colts, but what people don't understand is Peyton Manning in the playoffs is something else. You know, so once he gets to the playoffs, within the last few years, I should say, when he gets to the playoffs, guys, I mean, he's a whole nother animal. And the team that he has around him, the running game, they're getting going with Ball and Moreno back there. I really like what the Broncos bring to the table. I think they're all around team, and I still picked them to win it all fine.
They the last couple weeks they did look human, I would say, because you know prior to that they looked like they were on a whole different level. But obviously my pick was the Texans. That was my sleeper pick, and they stayed asleep. So, I mean, obviously I don't like them at all anymore. Who I'm going with right now is I really have to say the Colts. I really do. Trent Richardson hasn't even began to play well yet. He's not acclimated to the offense. But what I'm most impressed with from this team is that they've beaten San Francisco on the road. They've beaten the Seahawks, and they've beaten the Broncos. And I know a win is a win in the NFL. I get that. It doesn't matter who you beat. But those are three really good teams. Those are three teams that if they made the Super Bowl, none of us would be surprised. So to get those kind of quality wins, hey, I got to be honest. I'm going with the Colts now. I really do like what I'm seeing from them. I really do. See, Rush, you picked the Bengals. What do you think about that?
What was that again, Stefan?
See, Rush, you went with the Bengals.
Yes, sir.
Do you still like that pick, or you know, you like someone else, or what?
No, I still love the Bengals, and here's why. You know what? They went on the road and beat a good team in the Detroit Lions, and they beat teams they should beat. You know, and another thing is playoff time. T. Will talked about Peyton Manning playoff time. That's the wrong time to talk about Peyton Manning, in my opinion, because you know what? He folds like clothes, in my opinion. You know, he doesn't do things that has to happen. Just ask Ty Law in the playoffs, you know. Just ask Terry Porter for the New Orleans Saints, you know, who picked him off in the end zone. You know what? And my thing is this. They have a young defense, Andre Kilpatrick, Lance Berfick from Arizona, Ray Maliuga's coming back. You know, I think that this explosive offense that if Andy Dalton can just hone this offense and just corral it like he did this past weekend against. Now let's not get it twisted. The Jets were playing very good defensive football this past weekend, and Andy Dalton came out and had his way with them this past weekend. You know, you got AJ Green, Tyler Eifert, Jermaine Gresham, the law firm, Benjaris Green Ellis. You know, you got Giovanni Bernard out there. You have the pieces in place to displace a team like the Denver Broncos. So I'm still going to stick with the Cincinnati Bengals because you know why? They came out. They've shown why they are a good team in this division. They beat the team in the Patriots that everybody said, oh, my goodness, it's the Patriots. These aren't the Patriots from 2006. You know, this is not that same team. So I really believe they have the pieces in place to get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think it's going to be real interesting. I hope the Lions take it down, but I mean, that's who I'm going with. I'm going with the Colts. You guys, we all named some really good teams, and I think if they win either way, you know, we wouldn't be surprised. So, but we're going to close this one up coming up on an hour here. See, Rush, you have a good show, man.
You know, I always have a good show when I'm close to 7 Mile and having a good show with my brothers, man.
That's good. That's good. T. Will, you good?
Oh, yeah, man. Nothing like being here on opening night of the NBA, baby, and bringing this show directly off my love seat straight to the internet, baby.
Yes, sir. That's the Wilson Rush Podcast. Dude, that's what we do here. But, you know, we're going to have some good ones coming up in the future, so make sure you tune in. Search us on iTunes, Wilson Rush Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Wilson Rush. We definitely have a good one coming up for you next week as well. We'll have a weekend of books from the NBA, and we'll definitely get into our Pistons. We'll talk about how does Derrick Rose look off his red shirt season last year. We'll also take a look at that. And, you know, thanks for listening. And as always, representing 7 Mile, and we out.
Wilson Rush Podcast with your host, Wilson Rush. Also with C. Lever, Paul Wilson, and C. Lever.